So let's jump into talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to wrap up a major section today by finishing these purposes and roles of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to give us an assignment to do at the end. We're going to wrap up this section that I just am calling personhood of the Holy Spirit, because we have been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, of being the third member of the Trinity, of his divine qualities, his emotional qualities, the things that he does, and then also his purposes. So that's what we're going to wrap up today. Next week, we're going to start moving into the symbolism of the Holy Spirit so that you can start seeing how else is he represented in the Bible, which will really, really boggle your mind as you begin to read through things, because in the back of your mind, you'll be questioning, who's at work here? What am I seeing by some of these different symbols that are there? So that'll be a lot of fun. So for now, let's jump towards the bottom left column here under prompt us to do the work of God. We've so frequently referred to it as that nudging feeling that you have when, I think God is saying something here. This is an example of what's happening. So this Exodus 35:21, who had that one? Which I think is so cool, because here they're in the midst of building the tabernacle. And it says, whoever's heart was stirred within them. It doesn't say that everybody gave to this. It says that whoever's heart was stirred. So that means that the Spirit was going, all right, you, I'm going to stir your heart to make this happen, to compel you to get involved in this. I'm going to stir your heart to compel you. You might not be ready yet, or you don't have what's needed, or whatever. And so instead of people feeling guilty for not contributing, the Spirit was stirring people to do what the work of God was at that moment. Isn't that cool? You know, how many times do we hear pleas, especially from the pulpit? And it's usually involving kids' ministries and children's ministries, let's be honest. Please, we need volunteers for the children's ministry. And honestly, only one time has my heart stirred that I needed to do that. Most of the time, my heart does not move at all. Does that mean that I'm cold-hearted? Or does it mean that perhaps that's not where God wants me at that moment? There have been times that I've been point-blank asked, will you please go speak to the kids? And usually it's in Africa with like 2.3 seconds to pull something together. But I'm absolutely willing to do it. I'm not opposed to it. I will go under the strength of the Lord and do what I can. But it's not a major gifting of my life. This is much more the gifting of my life. Music is much more the gifting of my life. And when those things are presented, that's the time that I find my heart stirring. When this class said, hey, we'd like to learn about the Holy Spirit, I thought my heart was going to explode inside my chest, because that was the Spirit moving and saying, no, step up. This is what I want you to do right now. He prompts us to do his work. But I think we've also all experienced the times when you are feeling the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you're not willing, and now there's a conflict, and that wrestling match occurs until one of you gives up, which should be you, by the way. But we do all fight that, and that's such a great point. You know, we need to be willing. We need to be submitted to the Lord, that even if it's something that we are uncomfortable with, something we've never done, if that prompting is there and he stirs that within us, we need to be willing to obey, because you might see the Lord work through you in a way that you never thought possible, and you might actually see the Lord bringing a new gift into your life that you didn't even know was there. And I can speak for that from experience. Do you really think I ever saw myself traveling overseas and doing all this stuff? Not in a million years. Always wanted to travel the world, always wanted to be involved in ministry, never saw how the two would pull together. And certainly never thought that I would be preaching crusades, ever. But that's what God has started calling me to do. And it's awesome when you are obedient to the voice of God and watch him work. He also helps convict of sin, John 16:7-8. Are you part of the world? If you're living and breathing on this planet, this verse applies to you. Yeah, I'm not talking world in the fleshly sense, because the Bible's clear that, you know, we are not to be a part of that. However, we are a part of this planet. And if the Holy Spirit, if part of his job is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that applies to us as well. And I'll tell you, he is good at his job in this area, because it's important. You know, if we are to become Christ-like, it means that the sin in our life needs to get pointed out. And he is so gentle but firm in doing it. There are sins in my life that never would have bugged me 10 years ago, but now drive me crazy, and I want them out. But 10 years ago, I wasn't at that point, and the Lord knew it. And the Spirit said, you know what, we're just not going to deal with this right now. And grows you up and sanctifies you and transforms you and then goes, okay, now it's time to deal with this. And yet does it in such a loving way. Even if it involves a 2x4 across the head, it's still in a loving way, is it not? And that is, I love this role of the Spirit. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. But if you are willing and submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, search me and point it out because I just want to be more like you. And then you deal with what is pointed out. Oh, wow. It's awesome. And there are times that it will feel like he's overwhelming you. Like, really, do we have to deal with all of this at once? Really, do we have to go there? But if you do, totally worth it. So take the challenge. Romans 8, 15 and 16. This Holy Spirit helps confirm that we are his kids, that helps our heart cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. I love that. And you see people struggle who don't know the Lord. They struggle with who they are so much. You know, as we were driving down to Pueblo yesterday, we were listening to NPR, and there was a brief snippet of a transgender community and some of the issues that they're dealing with. And it was amazing to me how many of these individuals said, I just didn't know who I was. I didn't feel like I belonged to myself. I didn't know, you know, just this constant questioning. Yet when we come to know the Lord and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal this to us, this is who you are in Christ. You are not just a person on this planet. You are a child of God and you belong and you are loved. And it creates this whole identity for us. And even if we struggle with it as Christians, because we do, let's face it, we all do, he still helps us through that and helps bring us to that great knowledge that we can cry out, Abba, Father. It's an amazing role of the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Isn't that cool? We accept Christ as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit seals us in. Just think about that for a second. In the moment of you saying, God, I am a sinner, and I need your help, and I put my faith and trust in you, boom, the Holy Spirit seals you in. And that's where our safety and security can come from. Pretty cool, huh? You know, and on those days when you feel like you're on shaky ground and where do I belong and how do I fit in? And just think about that, boom, being sealed by the Holy Spirit, that promise of inheritance of the future ahead of us in heaven. That is huge. Lack of doubt. That is so hard. Anyone else have troubles with that? It is impossible on our own. Well, and again, how this is taking us from this transition of unbelief, how it's the Spirit that's drawing us to the truth and knowledge of Christ that helps us to then believe mentally and emotionally, spiritually, leads us to that point and then continues on with us to grow us up. Wow. You know, I love that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, that's the Spirit at work as well, leading and drawing us to that point when we realize I am a sinner. And then I need help. You died for me. I need that help. Boom, sealed in. Now we're moving forward. Wow. Yeah, it is so true. We in our flesh never come to the realization of by ourselves that we are in need of a Savior because the very nature of us is evil. You're so right in that apart from God, and his moving, there's no way we will come to that point of knowing that we need a Savior. It is the drawing of his Spirit and the leading that his Spirit does to us that counteracts our human flesh and gets us to the point where we go, I can't do anything here, but you can. Yeah, we have great, great security in the Lord and in our salvation. And there's bridging on a topic here, which I'm not going to cross over into, but we're bridging on a topic of assurance of salvation, once saved, always saved. You know, we're walking that line with some of the things that are being said right now. But the reality is, we will never fully understand how far God's grace will go because he's God and we're not. The reality is, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, there is a huge amount of security that we have. It's our feelings that get in the way. You know, and I really encourage people that, you know, if you're struggling with this, I don't know if I'm really saved or not, then just ask for forgiveness again and move forward. Because then it just removes any doubt at all. You know, if you have to get saved 27 days in a row, then you know what? Get saved 27 days in a row. Because in there, somewhere along the way, you're going to actually figure out that you have given your life over. The Spirit has sealed you in and you're moving forward. Some people have a much longer process of walking through that than others. Others, it's instantaneous and they don't doubt it at all. For some, they will battle it their entire life. But, you know, he is right in that you've got to find an anchoring point. And I really think that that verse can be one of them. I struggle with this, so I am going to go back to this verse again and again and again every time I begin to struggle to remind myself who I am in him and what he is doing for me. Because that becomes a great anchor. But again, we've got to provide anchors in our lives of God's word that we can trust because we can trust. You know, we've got to have those. And I firmly believe eventually our emotions fall in line with that as we continue to go back to those anchors. It may take decades. It may take minutes. But let's allow God to be God. Let's allow the Spirit to do the work in these people that needs to be done because he's doing it. But we've just, as people who are going through it, you know, we've got to be faithful to find those anchors or seek people out to help us find those anchors of God's word. For those who are watching others go through it, we've got to help provide those anchors and encourage them. Because, you know, when you're drowning, you don't know what to grab, which is scary. Empowering and equipping. Who has the Ezekiel 36? He puts his spirit within us, immediately equipping and empowering us to be able to walk in his ways. That's heavy. Verse 26 is talking about God putting in a new heart of flesh, that in taking that stone cold heart, putting in the flesh that is adaptable and soft and mushy and squishy. And then in the midst of that also puts his spirit so that we can walk in his ways. Wow, that total transformation. It is completely being born again. You know, that's honestly why I'm such a proponent of soul winning. When you're able to see the hardest of heart become mushy for Jesus. My dad is not, in all the years that I've known him, he's never been a hard-hearted man, but he's tough. You know, he's a firefighter for crying out loud. They just come that way, I think. He's tough and he's a hard worker and all of that. But at the same time, to see the Lord begin to mold and shape him, you know, he can't sing a hymn without a tear in his eye now, which makes me cry because I love seeing that in him. I love seeing the heart of God in him over these years, because it's been a pretty massive transition. And for those of you who don't know, my parents are Catholic. They love Jesus. They are totally born again. But you know what? I didn't see that transition begin to happen in him until I left the Catholic Church, because it caused him to have to start asking questions. And I remember him coming to me and saying, I don't know why you have to question your faith. I'm actually not questioning my faith in God at all. I'm just questioning which church I'm going to express it in. You know, so we had a bit of a debate about that. But for him to see that you can question your faith and begin to say, you know, I agree with this, I don't agree with this, it set him on a course that I never expected. And to be able to see God work through that in his life, and to see this man now who brings up God in a daily basis when I honestly didn't hear that much out of him about his faith, but for him to openly express it now and get on chat lines and begin to witness to people. I mean, I'm just like, this is so not my dad. But it is, because it's the work of God in him. Taking that heart of stone, not that he started out all that hard, but still transforming. And that can happen in every single one of our lives if we're willing. We all have hearts of stone, whether we're age 6 days or not. Galatians 5:16. There's the daily struggle right there, right? But we know that we have the power within us through God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit to walk away from that stuff. We have the power and the ability to do it. He's provided it. It's just that daily battle of whether or not we will. He also anoints, appoints, and commissions. Isaiah 61:1. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon us and appoints us to go out and do these things. In this particular passage, he's prophesying about Jesus. You know, but then Jesus also says, you're going to get to do these things, even greater things. So, you know, the Spirit is anointing us to do these things and appointing us to go out, commissioning us. Let's take a look at Acts 13, verses 2 and 4. God calls all of us to certain things. He also calls some of us to certain things. You know, we don't have to worry about it. You know, like I said, with the children's worker thing, I'm not called to that. I don't need to worry about that. But when God says, I want you to do this, I better hop to it. Because God is anointing me and appointing me and commissioning me to go do that. And if He is anointing and commissioning me to go do something, even if there is failure in the midst of what I'm doing, I'm not really failing. Did you hear what I said? Even if there's failure in the midst of what I'm doing, I'm not really failing because I'm doing what was asked of me. There are times in our lives where God is going to push us to the edge on purpose because He's working some things in and through us. And even if there's failure in the midst of it, it's part of that process. But when we know, because God has said, I am calling you and I'm appointing you, those failures end up becoming great treasures later. Now, we so easily put our own understanding of what we think God is saying into what God said, and then we're disillusioned and upset because it isn't going the way that we think it should go, as if we were God. And I like how Joseph put that. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And so if there's trouble in the midst of the calling, well, guess what? He's working on us. I agree with you. There is peace in the midst of it sometimes. I mean, because, you know, usually in the midst of the turmoil, you're like, you know, I have a steady footing here. And I know that's the peace you're talking about. But on an emotional realm, it's anything but peaceful. But you're right. There is a peace and assurance in the midst of that. He does frequently call us to more than we can handle. Yeah. And it causes us to have to rely on Him and go beyond ourselves. And oh my goodness, ask for help, which, you know, is just not the American way. He is also great at transforming and sanctifying us. Would someone look up Titus 3:5 and someone else look up 1 Peter 1:2? Yeah, the sanctifying work of the Spirit. You know, I love how this new believer described the work of God. She goes, I've decided that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the trash man and the trash truck. And I just thought, I don't think I know where this is leading, you know? So I asked her to explain a little bit more, and she goes, you know, I'm just thinking about it. You know, you have to take out the trash, and that's our job, is we're supposed to just gather that trash, and we just throw it out on the curb. And then the trash man and the trash truck show up, and actually it was the Holy Spirit that was causing you to pull out whatever trash needed to be taken out. Like, the Holy Spirit is working in you, saying, trash, 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 keep it trash, trash. We load it all up, and then the trash man, who's Jesus, just comes and takes it all away. We don't have to worry about it anymore. I love new believers for that very reason. I mean, who of us comes up with an analogy like that, you know? I love hanging out with new believers. But it's so true. You know, think about your day-to-day existence and how the Lord, through His Spirit, is saying, trash, treasure, trash, treasure, triple treasure, quadruple trash. He is sanctifying us and washing us. And I love the Titus 3:5, the washing of regeneration. You know, I think of washing your hands under the water. And the you know, you're taking a shower and the Holy Spirit is just pouring out upon you, washing you of all of the trash that needs to go away, causing you to feel clean and renewed and refreshed. How cool of the Holy Spirit to constantly be moving through us and pointing out those things so that we can grow. It's so true. When we're in the midst of it, we don't know the outcome, and it's hard to grab that peace sometimes. But the peace to the fullest measure is available because of Christ and His work in us. Oh, yeah, the struggles and the lack of peace that unbelievers experience on a daily basis shows the miraculous power of God, of the peace that we can experience even in the midst of our turmoil. Isaiah 63:11-13. You know, when we're going through stuff and we call back to mind what God has done, where is the God that did this in my life? Where's the God that did that? You know, I just got to say, the unbelieving world looks at us and names all those things. You know what? In their life, I saw this and this and this happen. What is up with that? In their life, I saw this and this and this. In the midst of stuff, God is working miracles, healings, divine interventions. And it leads unbelievers to him. You know, you want to know the quickest way to lead someone to Christ? Pray for them for a physical ailment. We've seen it thousands of times overseas, where we will pray with someone, they don't know the Lord at all, but we'll ask, are you okay with us praying for you? Yes. And they will be healed immediately, and they have no choice but to put their faith in the God that just healed them. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's in turmoils in our life, physical healings, whatever it may be, the Holy Spirit is working all of these different things. You know, Matthew 12:28 says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When you, through the power of God, cast a demon out of somebody and they are free for the first time in their life, and you say, would you like to follow Jesus who kicked this demon out of your life? I have yet to have anyone say, no, I think I'm good. They are so willing to give their life to Christ because they understand the power that happens. I know there is a segment of Christianity that capitalizes on healings and miracles and divine intervention, and they focus way too much on it. Fully recognize that. But far be it from us to go to the opposite side of the scale and say, you know, those things aren't going to happen and they don't happen anymore, and it's not going to point to anything. It's all but flash and flame. No, it's not. God purposes miracles and divine intervention and signs and wonders to help bolster our faith in who he is and what he does, but also to lead the unbeliever into the knowledge and saving grace of God. Just because a physical miracle doesn't happen, it doesn't mean the spiritual miracle isn't happening in the midst. That is so, so true. I hope that that encourages you to take a step of faith and be bold in praying for some people. Whether they're a believer or not, pray for people and ask that God would do a miracle. He can still say no. Why do we cease to ask? There's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen because we just don't ask. So let's, if we're going to err, how about we err in asking and letting God be God and let him say yes or no to stuff? Let's just keep asking. Your kids all do. Why are we so different? Did we not read earlier today that we're children of God? Does the Bible not say that we should have faith like a child? So let's quit. Let's spiritually grow up and yet at the same time stay young. Amen? God does heal our boo-boos. I like that. And you know, at the same time, I don't think even if we don't see a miracle healing immediately or in decades or whatever, I don't think we need to stop asking either. I am living proof. I grew up most of my life with the inability to sweat. That's a bit of a problem in the summertime. And it's a huge problem when you're doing overseas ministry in hot countries. And yet, I prayed, oh my gosh. I mean, every summer I was praying, could you just take care of this, please? Because I just want to be like everybody else. I don't want to have to worry about this. And it wasn't until 20, 30 years later, when I am in the heat of South Sudan, that God instantly healed me. I walked off the plane and said, Lord, I'm not going to be able to come back from this country if you don't work a miracle. I'm asking again. I had asked, I don't even know how many times prior to that, but instantaneously, sweat began to fall from my brow. I didn't even know what it was. I thought I'd cut myself or something because I'd not really felt that, you know? And instantly, I was healed. There are days I'd like to go back the other way, you know? But the reality is, let's just keep asking. And unless you know that God has said no, and you know that the answer was no, just keep asking. All right, here's what I want us to do. And we're not going to do it. I'm going to have you do it at home because of time. We've covered a lot of material in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Everything from his divinity. If you need to go get the handouts, go get them online. If you have them, review them. I want you to come up with your own definition of the Holy Spirit. So that if somebody says, well, who's the Holy Spirit? You can say whatever it is you're going to say. And I want you to really think it through, because I've been dealing with this and thinking about it for the last number of weeks, and I still am not satisfied with my answer. Write it down. I want you to come next week, and I want to hear some of these definitions of the Holy Spirit.